Polly, it's for your sake alone. I left my dear old father, my country, and my home. I left my dear old mother to weep and to mourn. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home. It's grape shot and musket and the cannon lumber loud. There's many a mangled body, the blanket for their shroud. There's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home.
Okay, thanks so much for joining me here today on the broadcast. This is the 22nd day of December, and this is Critical Disclosure Radio. I'm your host, James White. And if everything is run properly, we should be simulcasting on Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, DLive, Podbean, Blog Talk, and other fine platforms. And we do appreciate you joining us here today on the show. We have a returning guest, Terry and Mark Stamen. We were just on last week, and they have quite a tale to tell. And we've cataloged a lot of it, a lot of the stuff that they've went through. It certainly is hard to relay to the folks what they go through because they've actually lived it. But we do our best here to have them give them an opportunity to recount their story along with visual aids, which we have plenty of those today. So without further delay, we're going to welcome Mark and Terry Stamen back on the show again. Let me turn off, let me do the mute thing here so we can get them back on. There we go right there. Mark and Terry Stamen, thanks so much for joining us here once again on Critical Disclosure Radio.
Hello. Hello, Jim, and hello, everyone out there across the fruited plain of the United States and even around the world. We're thrilled once again to be back with Jim and Northwest Liberty News. We're living in some really trying times, Americans, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about what's happening with the election fraud and insurrection of our republic and things like that. So, We were really excited when Jim extended this opportunity to get back on so quickly because we are unraveling a significant amount of fraud in the CPS and family court system in Jefferson County, Kentucky. And we wanted to continue the disclosure because we've arrived at this point because the system has failed us and willfully. Not just to what we've been subjected to in the CPS and family court system, having been grossly denied honest services, but also every avenue for remedy and justice. And what we've uncovered in the course of our extensive investigation, and even with Terry's outreach to other people across the country and around the world through the Forgotten American at No Longer Ignored on Twitter, is what appears to be a concerted effort to destroy our families, a seditious operation. And being that this system that we were subjected to in Louisville, Kentucky, Jefferson County, being a self-acclaimed national model, and just to summarize real quick, that we see so much of this happening, like we've said, as a script across the country, that having discovered the evidence and, you know, that we wanted to bring this forth because ultimately, this is a we the people problem. When your government willfully ignores you or denies you every avenue for justice or remedy, then ultimately it's up to us, we the people, because we are the people. This is the system that we establish for our protections, and they're denying us our rights. They're depriving us of our children. They are working to destroy us and our livelihoods. And so when you have the information, when you have the picture, after you run your entire course, the only thing left is to reach out to good people who are willing to report on these things. And we're thankful to Jim and other citizen journalists who are stepping up. But Jim has really taken the lead on this. He's been reporting on it for a long time. His heart is in the right place. He really cares about people. And so we're really thankful, Jim, that you allowed us this opportunity to be with you again today.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. You guys are a couple of great folks. And what you've went through is just, I mean, it's a travesty. It doesn't even come close to describing it. But before we get to the, I just want to make a quick comment before we get to the visuals. I think one of the good things about you guys coming out right now and others is I think people are really starting to recognize that there's nothing but criminals running things in the highest levels of government. This is all starting to be to come out. You see this stimulus bill thing that got signed yesterday. What a ridiculous joke that was, and just a slap in people's face who've been put out of business and whose lives have been just wrecked in many ways because of the decisions of our overlords, our so-called leaders. So yeah, I think the fact that CPS generally is a child kidnapping, money laundering cabal that operates nationwide, I think that idea is becoming a lot more it's coming a lot more believable to people when they see that's the rampant corruption that's going on everywhere. Do you have any comments on that before we get over to I know we have a lot of slides today. I want to make sure that we get to them in time. So I'll have you comment on that if you don't mind, then we'll get right to the stuff.
I'll just add to it with this, Jim, and that we hear a lot of talk that, about a coup happening across our country with the election, and that there's an ideology that people are attempting to put something in place that is contrary to our Constitution, to our way of life, to our independence and our freedom. And when you look at what has been happening in the CPS and family court system driven by the adoption of the Safe Families Act, goes all the way back to 1997, even to the CAPTA back in the 70s, before that is a general foundation. But when you look at the nature of socialism and communism, it's about redistribution of the wealth, a centralized authoritarian type of control system where they're dictating every area of your life. And no more place is that more evident than what families experience in the CPS and family court atrocities that go on across the nation. We have people that are having their children taken. They're being denied their rights. They're being denied every avenue for remedy. The money is being, our wealth is being taken from us by authoritarians without any due process of law. It's being redistributed to other people who have no real interest in carrying on our American heritage or our way of life. And so it does fit in with the overall scheme. And it's been a long running scheme. And for a long time, people have tried to get their voice out and raise the awareness. They've been discarded under the disguise of, oh, you must have just done something wrong. Or, this is in the safety and best interest of the children. Well, what we've discovered is that is not the case. That is a gross disguise, that children are being harmed. Good families are being broken up. Livelihoods are being destroyed. We're being weakened as a country severely. And then when it comes to this point across the spectrum to the election fraud, it all ties right in, where we see people not just being denied the power of their vote, but also their right to free speech. And like in our case and other people who are of faith, the right to practice their religious belief with their children, which is the very thing on which our nation was founded. And so, it's important that when you can show the fraud and tie it in with the overall sedition operation, that the people have to be made aware, because the people who are in the positions of power and using our system against us, we need to confront this as a united people, and we need to fix it, because the only option is to continue down this path and end up in a very hard-line communist or socialist system. And so it's a real threat to our republic and the future of our country.
Yeah, if we don't do something now, it's not long before all of our children are in the clutches of CPS. And I mean that. And I mean every single one of them, if they could get away with it. That's how they operate. I know that you, as I said, I know you have a whole lot of slides that we have here. So
Jim, we wanted to show the picture. But on our interview a couple of days ago, at the end of last week, we were showing some statistics, and I wanted to pick back up there because we were kind of running short on time, and I wanted to touch upon a few areas. And that, under this law, and you can call it the first slide, and I'll just continue talking. But we were showing that the number of children who are taken by the states, that very few of them are actually placed with families or with relatives, even though according to federal law, they are required to notify all adult relatives. Now, I pointed out, the top 7 or 10 there with the actual numbers. And again, I have the numbers corrected there for the top 3 with family. But you can see it's a really disturbing, disproportionate number of children who are not with families, which raises the question of what is happening to our children. Who are they being placed with? What is being done with them? And in a lot of cases, we have grandmothers and aunts and uncles and cousins or brothers and sisters rising up and pleading to take care of these children, and they're being denied. We know it's tied in to the actual money, because big money goes out to children in foster care and not with relative placement. But then the whole child trafficking thing, you know, is also a questionable factor here as to how easy is it to traffic our kids. And then what kind of a voice do they have when you have a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 12-year-old, you know, who may be trying to get the word out? We run into families like that where kids are being abused and they've been screaming out for justice and for help, and yet they're just turned away. So, you know, it raises the question, is like, when you can expose this and you can show these numbers and you report it, why are these people that we have in our system of government not standing up for us as our employees and doing something to answer these questions? So a couple of things I want to touch upon, not with just the percentages, but if you go on to the succeeding slides, Jim, the next one, I just want to touch upon a point here where just because you'll see a number of the percentages in states that go up, when you go across the board, I don't think any of them rise. If you go on to the next one, you'll see rise above the 50% threshold of children who are actually placed with relatives. And so another thing I want to mention here that I want people to understand is that even though you will see a higher percentage, like in the case of Arizona, they're at 50, you might say, oh, well, you know, the people in Arizona, they do a pretty good job of placing they're taking the children who are removed with their relatives. Well, here's the thing. Out in Arizona, they have, like, I think over 20,000 kids that are in foster care or who have been taken or removed from their parents. So it's a sick, and it may be a little bit different, but I know it's large. It's like one of the largest in the country. So if you take a larger number of children and you can make the statistic look like, oh, they're actually somewhat complying with it, well, they're still getting the same amount of money that they would for, like, a state in Kentucky who only takes 8,000 kids, but their percentage is that, you know, it appears to be, like, more egregious. But, you know, it, like in our case, when we made people in our like with Senator Rand Paul's office, we made them aware of this of this. And one of the people with Senator Paul stated that, oh, this should be up around 70% for relative placement. And yes, we agreed. So when we made them aware, then as we were tracking this doc, these statistics over about, I don't know, almost a year and a half time or more, that we began to see the percentages go up, but on along the same line, so did the number of children being taken. Okay, so it was like, if you increase the number of kids taken, it just to show that your percentage of relative placement is being taken, well, you're still getting the same amount of money. So there's really no reduction in the money. And that's what I really want to point out, is don't be fooled that just because you may see your state, like, with a higher percentage that they're not doing anything any less nefarious than maybe some of the other states who have a different percentage. And that's what I wanted to point out there.
Back to the let's go back to the slides here. This is okay. Here's the next one.
Yeah, so this is, you know, again, we talked about this in the last one. I don't want to go over it again too much, but, you know, on this one here, if you scroll on a little bit closer, you'll see that they have to show a compelling reason for why it would not be in the interest of the child to return home there in subparagraph B. And that's in section 302 or 42 U.S. Code 675. And so they really don't demonstrate any of that. It's like a lot of times it's like, oh, we're going to put you in foster care. The kids end up staying in foster care, and then they're just kind of lost, and no one really knows what happens to them. A lot of families don't even know what happens to their children or where they're at. And so they're also required under the ASPA that they're supposed to show documentation of the steps agency have placed the child with a fit and willing relative. And it's like, but they don't really define what is a fit and willing relative. It's like, well, you know, in our case, we had, you know, our children, one of them was being subjected to sleeping in a closet, and yet one of our relatives was saying, well, you know, I can provide him a better place, you know, and they were wanting to go there, but they wouldn't let them. And the CPS people were like, oh, no, they all need to have 7 beds. And it's like, well, no, an air mattress isn't good enough, you know, for a temporary time. And so it was like, so instead, you know, one of our children was subjected to living in a closet for a while. So, you know, it's like, it's all arbitrary. You know, it's like there's these requirements, but there's no definition of the requirements. And so it's just an added kind of piece of where the arbitrary power.
By design, by the way, because that gives them a broad amount of latitude to commit the most amount of crimes without and having, you know, what plausible deniability. Isn't that their big thing? Of, hey, listen, I'm just following the law. This is there's nothing to stopping them. Really, that's the problem. The problem is that this whole system has been hijacked by criminals, and good people have been distracted with the shiny object. Why criminals have taken over and ran these trafficking systems pretty much with impunity. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and give it back to you.
Yeah. So if we go back to that page, I want to make another point there at the bottom on point E that, you know, historically and factually, and you know, most healthcare providers will really acknowledge that, you know, the effects on children and their psychological development, especially at that age where they're growing from the youngest through their adolescent years, that to be ripped out of their family environment or with someone that they know or can connect with, that it has a negative impact on them. And it's damaging, and it continues on through the course of their life. And so this willful negligence to not only comply with the federal law, but, you know, to show really genuine care for the children, which is really what, you know, this should be about. They claim it is, but it really isn't. And the damaging effects it has on them as they even grow up and mature and become adults. So I just want to show that, you know, it does have damaging effect on the children. So we can go on to the next one. You know, the questions I had there were, you know, what's really going on here? You know, again, we talked a little bit about that, you know, so is this really a safe family that they claim it is? No. I mean, I think most Americans who are subject to this will say no. How can that be a safe family or a safe child when they're ripped away from anyone that they know or relative and they're placed with complete strangers? So, you know, then what are we going to do here to fix it, America? That's really the question. So I'm going to the next slide, and we'll just continue on with this, because this is where we kind of get into the bigger aspects of the disclosure, Jim. We touched upon this, and this is a key part of bringing forth, you know, the fraud and the collusion, the conspiracy, people who are involved. We opened up this door on the last interview because we wanted to show the connection of based on what we believe are, if you know, either handwritten or computer generated. And I think that they're computer generated images off of scans of other documentation. But you know, this was a willful attempt to kidnap our children under the color of law, and being that this is a something that's been going on based on the evidence we have for a while, that other families in Jefferson County, Kentucky are likely have been affected over the years. So that's why we said any of the families out there who may be in that county or even throughout the state, we don't really know how much, you know, stuff is shared among them. But, you know, and then the felonies and the crimes. So I stated in the last interview that I would show some places where these images actually show up in these various documents and type and flow across CPS to people that we know that are involved outside of government, to you know, the judges and the police, and just to show the overall correlation, because this is where it really details the fraud and the conspiracy. So I will show those as we go forward, and then I'll show the additional four overview, and then as we have time in the future, as it, you know, we'll go back and show a few of those. So you can go on to the next slide. I'll just show that we did have several pieces of source documentation. The woman, the girlfriend of Terry's father, her brother, as she said, was on the Louisville Metro Police Department at the time as a lieutenant, who was busted down from a major for something we don't know. I just know that we know that he worked in the narcotics division at the time. We don't know if there was something drug related going on there or not, but something happened to get demoted. But anyway, we got a personal letter from this woman in 2013 after we relocated across the country. We have other source documentation with her writings on it. And so then the party invitation that goes all the way back to 2005. So these images that are showing up on these documents go back years. And it's really kind of impossible for the correlation to be tied to anyone else but these individuals. I mean, there's a definitive writing style or imaging style that is tied in here. And so as we go forward, we'll just kind of show these. I'm going to show the cover one, and you can kind of see here that it just kind of shows what each one of these mean. It's the legend. And if you go on to the next slide, I'll show the first We're going to go, people saw this in the last interview, but I'm only going to cover items 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 here. So if you take a good look, and I'm going to show this so you can kind of see the correlation between the CPS documents or those identified as CHFS, and then on court documents, and then to the 2013 letter, that there's a definitive relation. So you can go on to the next one. This document I may have shown in another interview, but this was the second notification letter that we got dropped off at our residence on March 26th. And I want to just make the people aware to take note of right there at the top where it says, "Today I stopped by your house," and you'll see a little red arrow there to Amy. I'm going to come back to that A in a few minutes. I just want people to take a note on that. But if you scroll down off to the right over here, and I have it blocked out, the letter my, or the word my with the letter M. Now that M is very definitive. It's got a loop on the left, a point on the right, straight down line. Okay. This image is seen again on a court document. If you go on to the next slide, I'll show them right where this is. So just about four lines down, this is on page 6 of a 7-page summary, which encompassed the summary of proceedings during our trial on September 28th, 2016. And this was kind of summarizing the things that they were saying in court. And, you know, we objected to everything on our constitutional rights. So, you know, everything that was brought before the judge, it was just we were objecting on deprivations of our rights. And so they mailed about 12 documents to us shortly after this trial, this fake or facade trial, I call it. So each one of us, Terry and I, got a piece of mail with these documents in them. So it's times two for us. And you will see there in the word closely monitor, in the word monitored, that M appears again. And so I just wanted to show the people where that is on the document. And then as you go through here, you can kind of see there's all various kinds of M's, and it's kind of questionable as how could one person write a letter M in so many different ways. Well, there's only one answer. It's computer generated, most likely. All indications are that is the case. So if you go on to the next slide, I'm going to show the people again the cover, and we're going to go to look at number 11 and 12, the S's. And so we got this. Go on to the next slide, Jim, and we'll show the people where the S is. And so this letter is page 2 of the 2013 document, and it's right up there on the tail end of always. The letter S, that is almost an exact image of the one that you're going to see next, which if you go on to the next slide, I'll show you where that is. So this was my letter that I got with these 12 images, and it's right there on my name, on the letter S that was addressed to me. And this was mailed out, if you look on the stamp, on October 7, 2016. And so, you know, this is just part of it. And I'll talk about the mail fraud aspect of it here, because these are fraudulent documents. These are forgeries that were mailed to us, making us think they were from someone else. But the tie-in is actually to, by the evidence, the people that we've identified. So if you go on to the next slide, I'm going to show you where the Y. And this is a unique kind of a Y. If you go on to the if you look at this, of all the documentation that we received, and I surveyed all of the letters on all of these documents, this is how I got to this point. I went through every letter of all the documents that we had off the source documentation, and then I PowerPointed them, where I just, you know, compared them, and I found all the ones that correlated, and then brought out the ones that were most similar or almost near exact images. And this Y here on number 14 shows up on page 2 of that same series of 12 documents that were from our so-called trial on September 28th. And it's never seen again on any other documents that I received that we were able to get, well, either in the mail or from the court file. So if you go on to the next slide, I'm going to show the people exactly where that is. It has to do on page 1 of this 2-page letter. If you scroll in right there, under the word money, that Y shows up right down there at the tail end of the word money. And it's kind of telling in that when you see the name of your daughter in respect to a court proceeding with a letter that only appears one time in all of your documentation, without really any other similarity to any other wise, and it's related to money, that this letter that goes back to 2013, that this word and this, or this letter shows up on a court document. So if we go on to the...
Well, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick commercial break here, if we can, and help, you know, help support our sponsors. And we come back, we'll pick it right back up here with Mark and Terry Lynn Stamen, Forgotten American on Twitter, No Longer Ignored on Twitter. Why don't you let us know before we go to break where we can find more information about you, and people can help you if you have any GoFundMe account or a Facebook page, Twitter account. Of course, we know No Longer Ignored, a website, things like that. Before we go to break, I'll give you an opportunity to give that out.
Sure, Jim. People can reach us through email at letourchildrengo@protonmail.com. They can direct message us on Twitter at No Longer Ignored. We're going to have a website, letourchildrengo.org. That'll hopefully be up soon. And we also have a givesendgo.com/saving our family, givesendgo.com/saving our family. And again, anybody that wants to reach us, we can be contacted through email at letourchildrengo@protonmail.com.
Okay, great. We're going to take you. I'm going to put you on mute, take a quick commercial break here. In about 2 minutes, we'll be back, and we'll pick things back up again here with Mark and Terry Stamen. I'm your host, James White, and this is Critical Disclosure Radio, brought to you by Northwest Liberty News. We'll be back after these brief messages. Hi, this video is brought to you by PatriotPrepared.com, where right now you can save $250 on each large package purchase, plus get free shipping to the continental United States. In these troubled times, it's not a bad idea to have some extra food storage available, and you can save big at Patriot Prepared right now. Go to PatriotPrepared.com, that's PatriotPrepared.com, and use the code Trump250 at checkout to receive your savings today.
Have you heard of protovites? The most common health concern today is poor digestive health. Unlike ordinary supplements, protovite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology. A published scientific study proves that protovite is nutrition that gets in 100% of the time. Protovite uses the highest quality ingredients to rapidly nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra. 6 weeks ago, when I started taking protovite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking.
Protovite, nutrition that gets in. Buy Protovite now.
Thank you, Protovite, for giving my life back.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make Protovite part of your healthy lifestyle.
Okay, folks, if you want to support this broadcast, you can support us by visiting our sponsors. Go to bloodboost.net. That's bloodboost.net, and check out all the fine line of Protovite products, and all the products there on bloodboost.net help boost your immune system, which is key. And again, patriotprepared.com is having a special right now on large food packages. We've still got about 5 or 7 days for delivery, so it's not too late if you haven't stocked up yet. And again, you can go to patriotprepared.com and use the code Trump250. To enjoy all those great savings. Okay, we're back again with Mark and Terry Stamen here on the broadcast. Let me take them off mute. And if you haven't had a chance, folks, to follow really the terrible saga that these fine people have been through, you can go to NorthwestLibertyNews.com and check out all of the videos. This is probably the 7th or 8th time I think you guys have been on now. I don't know, roughly. If not, maybe close to 10, not sure. But I think all those videos, I created a playlist. I think I got them all. If not, I'm going to add this one to the playlist. But if you go to NorthwestLibertyNews.com, look under playlists. I believe I have the interviews listed there. And if not, just search Mark and Terry Lynn on my page, and you'll see all the videos there that we've done previously. Mark and Terry, thanks so much again for joining us here on the broadcast. We appreciate you taking time to do this, and we're delighted that we're able to help you hopefully uncover this, this in my view, the satanic kidnapping rings that are occurring across all, you know, across the country. And I say that because when you kidnap children and traffic them, it's not of God, that's for sure. It's not of God, that's for sure. So that's my view on things, but, you know, people consider me radical, I guess. I'm going to turn it over to you and pick back up where we left off. And I know we just got done from, I think, the letter Y, and we're moving on to the next one. So if you have any comments before we get going, please go ahead and go ahead. You have the floor.
No, again, Jim, I just want to say thank you and to the people who are following this, because it's really important, and we encourage people to take a good hard look for yourself. And like Jim said, go back and even look at some of the other videos, because the overall evidence will show the massive fraud scheme that we mentioned at the very beginning of this. And, you know, I just hope that this moves people to raise their voices, that, you know, this should not be happening to us, anybody else in that county or state, or really even in any other place of our country. This is un-American. And we demand justice for these things. We demand action. We want our children returned immediately. So we're going to continue on the disclosure, Jim. And there was just one more piece of the letter that we were on that I want to show. If you would just go ahead and scroll on over to the next slide from this one. That just shows where the image is there in the middle, right there in the middle of that document with that letter Y. And then the M that looked like the one that was from the CPS document on March 25th that we had shown before. With the loop and the point, you know, it's very distinctive. I mean, these letters show up peppered around all of these documents in various places, and some are more similar than others, but they all have some sort of resemblance, and some appear to be manipulated. But, you know, when you see one or two or five, and then it kind of drives you, that's kind of what drove us, is we're like, what? I mean, we saw this, and it was like, then we're just like, well, we just kept going, and then it just grew from there to where, and now we have over, like I said, 1,000 of these that all point definitively, and it tells the story. It tells the story of the pre-planning of the event, the scripted operation throughout the entire process, and the actual kidnapping of our children, and then the negligence in not providing us an honest service, you know, and so, which is what fraud is. It's deprivation of an honest service. And yet here we sit being denied by all these attorneys of any remedy. I mean, there are one or so out there. We know of one who has a really good heart and who was willing to take this on, but had other things going on in her life and wasn't able to do it. And we really so much appreciate her. But you know, most of these other ones raises the question, what are you a part of? And why are you denying the people that you claim to serve a pathway for remedy? Why is our system of government denying us a place for justice with such gross violations of law and to the injury of our children, their life course, and to our livelihood? And, you know, like I said, it's not just about us, but other people that this may have been happening to over the years. And so that's why this disclosure is so important. So I want to show one more image real quick, Jim, on this letter before we move on to some others. And I want people to know that this is not going to be a prolonged thing. Because to go through every letter right now would be pretty cumbersome and would probably get tiring. And so we just want to show a few of the key things and to show that what I am saying, we can corroborate, and then to go forward from there, we're going to move on to some other things to show some even bigger travesties of what was going on. So if you go on to the next slide here, Jim, we'll look at one more. Now, when I showed you that March 26 CPS document, and I pointed out at the top to take a look at that A, I extracted these letters from these documents and made a comparison, so you can kind of see the correlation. That A in item 732 there is on the left. That was extracted from the word Amy in the CPS document. The M in the middle is from the 325 document, and the Y is from that. From the word money on page one of that 2013 letter. And I pieced those together, and then I extracted the word Amy from page two of the trial summary that we were subjected to. And you can see the correlation, you know, so the letter is flowing across the different agencies, going back to the person who shouldn't even be involved in any of this at all, who was given our children. And who knows what's happening to them now in light of all of this, which raises an even greater concern is, you know, if no one has secured the safety of our children in the midst of all of these disclosures and they may be subject to even bigger harm, you know, really, I mean, is there any words? I mean, what is there to say? How could we as a country or even as a citizenry allow this to continue to happen? How can reporters in the local area not be willing to step up and be storming that courthouse, asking questions immediately? Why over the last 2 years, when we have sent these things, a whole host of information, Jim, to our representatives, to all of the channels and law enforcement available to us, has that system not been shut down? You know, because if they're continuing to operate, they're just ignoring us, and they're just keep on doing this, and more kids are getting harmed, you know, why are we sitting here at this point? That's the open question. So, I mean, we don't need an answer to that right now. And so for the sake of time, I want to just move forward and
They've been captured. That's why. It's because they've been captured.
Right. I mean, I don't mean to, you know, over-talk you there, Jim. I mean, this is your show. Interject any time. I'm okay with that. But So if we just go on to the next slide, I want to again show. And now this is where we move into. I'm going to show a couple more. This is from the second one that we showed from the previous interview. And I want to show a couple images there. I'm going to start with 29 and 30 and then 31 and 32. And I'm not going to show them all, but if you go on to the next one, I'm going to show you where the P shows up. It's right there at the top. If you look at the arrow on over to plan. So that style P with the big elongated loop is right there. And then if you go on to the next one, if you go on to the next slide, I'll come back to that lower arrow. But the similar P shows up on another piece of mail that was sent to us after the 2016 election, summarizing a court hearing that was really canceled for us on that day. And it was sent to us in the mail, the summary of the event that day. And so this was sent to Terry, and you can see the P right there, on the piece of mail. And then if you go on to the next slide, I'm going to show where this is significant in respect to an additional crime, because to put a fraudulent or a forged document in a mail, making it look like that it is something other than what it is, is a federal crime that can be punishable for up to 20 years in prison. Mail fraud is a very serious matter. So this is a federal crime. We were not, at the time when we were receiving these, we had just begun our investigation, and so we were kind of piecing all this together, and this was reported to the FBI in Louisville that we had evidence that, you know, that there was suspected mail fraud as we were gathering evidence, and yet we were just, you know, basically ignored as we went along. I mean, there was some attention given to listening to us, but as far as any real action, no, there wasn't any.
When we did go to the FBI, the special agent in charge of the Louisville division was appointed by Comey. Her name was Amy Hess, and she was eventually moved to D.C. by Director Ray, and then she retired from the FBI and now works for the Democratic mayor in Louisville, Kentucky, Greg Fisher. So that's just a little point there that is who the special agent in charge was when we reported this to the FBI in Louisville.
Yeah, FBI has been corrupted, sadly, even here in Montana and all over, really. That's when the investigation typically stops, is when it gets in the hands of the FBI. It really hits a roadblock at that point. And that's by design. Well,
the agent, especially the first agent that we went to, I felt like they wanted to help us. But as you know, as stuff gets moved up the chain, things can get shut down. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. You want to hit the next slide?
Come on, Jim. I'm going to show another definitive image from a court document. Now I'm going to talk about items 31 and 32 on the next one. It looks like a 4, but it's really a T. I'm going to show you where those appear. Go on to the next slide. And it'll be the second line down from the previous one you were on. You'll see the word the there. It's the TH. And so that's where that appears. And then if you go on to the next slide, this is a part of the package of documents that we received in our envelopes that were sent to us from the courthouse, as if from Judge Tara Haggerty, who is now the chief judge of the family court system. There in Louisville, and you'll look at the word weather there at the top, and you'll see that TH or that T shows up, the same definitive style. It's a down, a loop over to the right. And so, you know, there's a definite correlation there between the letter we got in 2013 to the writing style, not the image itself. And so if you go on to the next slide, you will see that this is a picture of Judge Tara Haggerty. She was the one who we were receiving apparently documents from, but we don't think that they were really coming from her. She was just part of running this along. And she was elected in, looks like, 2014. And she's on the bench through 2023. But we kind of want to know why, in the midst of all these revelations, that this is being allowed to continue, why there was even a promotion after all of our submissions to the various justice channels. And we want to know, you know, we want our children back. You have no place to have participated in this. It's a crime, and we demand justice. I don't know if we need to have the Supreme Court, the justice of the Supreme Court in Kentucky, take a look at this. Somebody out there in the news media be asking these questions. Hey, how are these images showing up across these various documents? How did this family is kind of like, you know, been proceeded against in all these ways that we have brought forth up to this point? And they want us, they say, these officers of the court tell us that in the midst of all of this, we should either, one, comply with services, you know, do what they tell you, or that, you know, well, there's just nothing that you can do, and that we should have appealed. I mean, is there a place to appeal when you have this kind of evidence that there is an infiltration and control of the court system? Is this woman just a scout or just an agent? Is there someone else behind the scenes who is really running the big show with the trafficking of kids? I mean, it demands an answer, because there was no place for us to appeal. We got to that point and we were discovering all this evidence and the fraud and the correlation that, yeah, okay, well, we could have appealed, but then what would have happened, right? I mean, what, just basically turned down? I mean, we pursued that justice course because just like in the military, Jim, I mean, there are other avenues that you can go to maintain a check and balance, and we should have that in our society, and we do have that. But the people that are in these places are not acting to secure those protections for us. And so that's why these people sit there and get away with this stuff, and we have no other recourse but to bring this to the people who pay their salaries. So it's not just people who are paying their tax money for these people to do these things so they can sit in these positions and hurt us and our children, but then they take our tax money to fund all of this on the broader scale through the Title IV and the ESSA and all of that, and it just keeps going and going and going. And so, you know, it's up to us, America, to see the picture and to act on it and demand action to clean it out. These people don't deserve to be in these positions, and it's up to us to say something about it. So,
well, go ahead, Jerry.
In regards to the appeal issue, which is one of the sticking points when we do talk to attorneys, at the time, we were representing ourselves. We had gotten rid of the attorneys that we had. The one that that Mark had been given at near the end was, she was the daughter of the county prosecutor. The office that was prosecuting against us, they assigned his daughter as Mark's public defender. So we went to the point of representing ourselves, and we requested in Jefferson County, they video the court proceedings. And there was one court proceeding that neither of us were at. There was one that only Mark was at. And so we had requested those recordings, and Tara Haggerty denied them to us. She wouldn't let us have them. You know, how are we supposed to appeal something that we don't even have access to the record? So that was just another point in the whole issue.
And I want to comment something on you said just a minute ago, Mark, which I find often. You said, how can these people doing what they do and they even get promoted? That's what happens. The people that actually are the most villainous and have the most soulless, who are willing to break up families with pleasure, they get promoted. They get promoted into supervisory positions because it's almost like their soul has been evacuated from their body and they just don't really care. And that's the type of people that they want running things, people that don't care about you and as individuals and the damage that's been done to your family. Ah, Come on, that's meaningless. There's money involved here. There's money involved here. Forget about those people. And if you can have that attitude, you move up quickly in those ranks. Anyway, that's my view on things.
Yeah. So, Jim, if we can continue on, that'd be great. I want to show a few more of these and just so people can get a full feeling. Now, these are the last four, and I'm going to show one image out of these four. We can come back to later, but this is the next set. As you can see, the correlation between and I fixed that one up there in the left-hand corner. That actually comes from the 2013 letter and then what's on a court document. And then you'll see the and symbols, numbers. The ones on the lower left, the twos, come from a CPS envelope and then from a court envelope. And they're the same type of a two, you know? So, and then the 2005 party invitation, the style of the R, just across the board. So if you can go on to the next one, we'll just kind of show some of the other correlations between a different style M. The one over on the top right actually comes from that the 326 CPS document, number 77, and the one on the right, number 78, comes from a court document. So they're virtually the same image, just slightly, you know, modified. And then, you know, just various letters from different source documentation. One in the lower left.
Sorry, and to bring people back on this page, these are supposed to be from different people. These are supposed to be from different people. That's the thing, folks. You're seeing these letters next to each other. They're not from the same person, apparently. They are, but they're supposed to be from different people. Why is this same type of handwriting showing up in documents that are supposed to be from different sources, yet the handwriting looks the same throughout? It's a con, folks. That's why. Go ahead. Back to you.
Yeah. Okay. And then on the lower left there, Jim, of that document, you can see a correlation of the letter U across two of the source documents onto a court document from the 2005 party invitation, the 2013 letter, and then an 86 on the actual. So, you know, so on the court document. So, and all, you know, we can show all these. We know exactly where they are. And if you go on to the next slide, you'll look at, we already talked about the N, but the one I really want to highlight for people here, I want to move on to another key piece of this. Is up there in 95 and 96, style P. Now, 95 and 96, as you will see if you go on to the next slide, and just let people take this in, because this flows across the police documents like in 97, 98, and, you know, from a court document to a police document. It's an orchestrated scheme that, where these various images show up across different documents, it should be from different people that are all apparently connected to and worked in union with each other to kidnap our children. So this P shows up on this document. If you scroll in there real close at the end where it says end of business, that's where that P shows up. And it's a stretched out type of a P. And then it's got like a little bit of a loop at the bottom. But if you go on to the next slide, I'll show you where the same image shows up on one of our court documents that was generated after our so-called trial, and it's right there in the word BMI. And it's the same style with maybe just a slight little adjustment on the line down, but, and you know, without the loop on the bottom, but for all intents and purposes, it's the same image. And I showed this to a very high profile attorney several months ago, and he readily acknowledged in showing him all these documents, it's right there, right? And yet in the end, he dropped us and would not, even though he said he would help us, in the end he did not help us. And we're very disappointed because we really thought that he would do something. And so even in the midst of all of this, it's like, it begs the question, why are all these attorneys in state? He's the one who told us that he didn't know anyone else in the entire state of Kentucky, one of the top lawyers in the entire state, doesn't know anyone else in the entire state who would be willing to take this on in light of all the evidence. And he says it's, our case is too complicated. Well, I've done all of the investigation and the evidence. All you got to do is just file the paperwork. We'll pay you the money. Why won't you do it? Because what? I mean, is there a threat? Are you afraid of losing your license? I mean, are you afraid they're going to come after your kids? What is it, right? So I just want to
– all of the above. Probably all of the above.
So, you know, kind of want to move into the next slide, Jim, because I know we're going to be running out of time here just so people can take in some additional travesties. But
you got about 6 minutes. We got about 6 minutes.
Yeah, we'll just rip through these real quick. But you'll see this is the other, the seventh one of the overall summary. Like I said, these are about 126 total of this summary out of 1,000, over 1,000. And you can see, like, down on the lower left, going back to the 2005 party invitation, the style of number 3 with the boat loop at the bottom on a CPS document. It's the same, you know, sharp line over to the right, down, and a loop on the bottom. So, you know, so if you move on to the next slide, Jim, I'm going to show the people. We one of the additional allegations, the reason I showed all these images is to show the fraud, okay, because one of the other key points for taking away our children was that because we were homeschoolers, that we educationally neglected our children. And accusations was is that we had never enrolled our children or we had never registered them with Jefferson County Public Schools, and yet we did. And so you'll see there where it says no documentation with JCPS. And yet that's perjury. That is not true, because if they had done the check, they would have seen that we did register, because we've got documentation proving it. You go on to the next one. If you go on to the next slide there, you will see this is a letter that Terry made in 2015 for the 2015-2016 school year, informing Mr. Lynch that we will be educating our children at home, and they were all doing really well. Amy was exceptionally doing. She was scoring extremely high on the ACT, to where it actually resulted in her becoming a governor's scholars after she was taken from us. And so if you go on to the next slide, you'll see that we had not just registered with them in the 2015-2016 year, but also the year before that. So there's a record of it. And then in acknowledgement of this, we got a letter back from the public school system, if you go on to the next slide, stating that they wanted to fill out some survey. And this is proof, because it says at the very beginning, dear parents of children enrolled in homeschools. So the only way that we could get a letter like this, if they were already aware that we had registered our children, that we were going to homeschool them in accordance with state law. So we had followed the state law and shown this. And this is the feedback showing that, yeah, we had done that. And that is perjury in that document that we had shown before. And then if you go on to the next slide, we'll show the envelope that that they sent this in to us on. It comes to us, you know, addressed to us. And so if you go on to the next slide, it just shows the additional documentation. We can scroll through these really quick, but this is just the additional stuff. This is for, we got another letter like for the fiscal year 2017, they went on a survey. We thought maybe we had to do this, and we found out it was not compulsory. So these are just the documents that were inside that envelope. And you just scroll on down through these. And then,
so we'll have you guys on back on next week. So there's no reason if you want to just remember where we left off, we can just pick right back up.
Yeah, again. So we should probably stop there for now, because I have a really big piece of evidence, Jim, that is really important. And, you know, we appreciate you allowing us the offer to come back on, and we will accept that. Because there's another big piece that I want people to see as far as what they do in the generation of these documents and how we receive them. It correlates back to what we showed in the interview a few days back, or maybe an interview or two ago, about the April 6, 2016 documents, where there was the additions on the document and the misspelled words and those things. So it ties into that. We'll just bring that out the next time. But
can you remember,
I think that there's enough there.
Sorry,
for right now. I think there's enough there for right now, Jim, that it's going to raise some really, really big questions and hopefully among the American people. So
Jim, if anybody wants to reach us, I'd like to give out our contact information again.
Sure, of course. Sure, go right ahead.
You can be reached at through email at letourchildrengo@protonmail.com. So that's the main one.
Okay, excellent. Do you remember what slide we're on here? It looks like 17E. Are you guys good with that?
We can stop there for now, and you know, you can wrap it up with closing comments, but if you like, or if you have any questions for us or anything, but
No, there's no questions. It's very apparent to me that you guys got involved in some sort of a, you know, trafficking, kidnapping ring, you know, and with the trafficking part necessarily with your children, but certainly the kidnapping part, they're probably trafficking others. That's just how the way they operate. And we're going to continue to smash them right in the mouth here on this program as often as we can and report their criminality. And if we keep doing it enough, and now I notice there's other people now that are picking up, thankfully, there's other people finally picking up these interviews about CPS and child trafficking and what's going on with that. And there's more and more people that are having parents on, which I'm delighted to see, because that's how we're going to win this, is everybody's going to be awake and aware of the criminality and realize that we're funding the kidnapping and trafficking of children in each and every state via CPS. And that's not an exaggeration, folks, not hyperbole, not making it up. Believe me when I tell you, I got the documents to prove it. Mark and Terry Lynn, we so much appreciate you being here on the broadcast.
Can I just say one thing real quick before you sign out?
Of course.
I don't want anyone to think that we are violent. We are not. We are not threatening anybody. We want justice through our authorities. We want action through our authorities. We have trusted our system, but it has failed us. And, we do not intend to harm anyone or do anything against the law or violent. We just want our children returned, and we want these people held accountable, and we want it done by good people somewhere in our system, or if not, then the American people, that we demand this action.
No, if we act unlawful and violent, we just are no better than them. So
No. That's
why we don't want to do that. Mark and Terry Lynn, thanks so much for joining us here. We're just out of time. I got another show coming up here I got to get prepped for, but we always appreciate having you on. We'll have you back after the holidays. Merry Christmas to you. I know, each and every year it's probably difficult without your children. I can't even imagine. But nonetheless, we certainly wish you the best, and we look forward to having you back on next week, and I'm sure we'll chat before then.
Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks so much. Appreciate you. All right, folks, there goes Mark and Terry Lynn. A terrible, terrible case. If you haven't had a chance to see it, you can go on Northwest Liberty News and see all the previous interviews. And I think there's a playlist for them. It's up to us, folks. No one's going to come in, like I said before, wearing a pair of tights and a cape and save us. We all have to stand up. Because these are our children that they're kidnapping. Understand that. This is our future that they're robbing and they're destroying. And most of these kids half of them end up being in the system, in the court system. So it's a national emergency that no one's doing anything about. We're sending billions of dollars to foreign countries, and our own country is being overtaken by child trafficking networks. So appreciate you looking in. We're just out of time. I'll be back here in about 15 minutes with Jordan Hall, publisher from Gideon Knox. He publishes for Montana Daily Gazette and does a lot of writing there. He's a return guest. We're delighted to have him back on the show talking about what's going on here in Montana. Check it out at criticaldisclosure.com, criticaldisclosure.com, northwestlibertynews.com. Until next time, this is James White for Critical Disclosure, saying bye now.